Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to Discover a New Beginning Blog Talk Radio. Our show, Phenomenally Yours, broadcasts weekly on Thursday evenings at 6 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. This show is inspired by and dedicated to all the phenomenal men and women who are making a difference. Whether someone recognizes your worth or not, know that you are awesome. Our guest today is Kazembe Abena, founder of Divine Resonance. Welcome, Kazembe, to our show. We're so pleased that you could join us today. Welcome.
Thank you so much, Linda. I am thrilled to be and honored to be here. Thank you so much.
So Kazembe is a channeler, a certified Reiki master, teacher, energy worker, certified Tantra professional, a certified health coach, holistic practitioner, and DOM. His company, Divine Resonance LLC, is dedicated to rekindling the spark and deepening the connection to source, self, and life through love. Kazembe is also committed to the teaching of vulnerable communication for everyone, and men in particular, to convey the strength of heart-centered living and love. For his individual and couple sessions, Kazembe uses a combination of energy work, coaching, and channeling to unveil your true self and co-create a life of peace, health, and prosperity. Kazembe was born in Portland, Oregon, and attended Clark Atlanta University in Atlanta, Georgia, where he earned his BA in psychology. A natural-born empath, Kazembe has explored various indigenous spiritual systems, energy, and metaphysical practices for nearly 20 years. His specialties are his own methods, which is the sacred symbol technology, and the synergetic BDSM. Welcome again to our show, Kazembe. So tell us a little bit about your journey. How did you, 20 years is a long time to be in this field. How did you get into this whole field as to be a Reiki master? How did that journey begin?
Very good question. So I'm originally from Portland, Oregon, and I was raised in a traditional Baptist family. Everyone was very, you know, very religious. We did the whole thing of Sunday school, and back then, you know, you would go to church, and you would do Sunday school, then you do regular church service, which was, you know, 3 to 4 hours, maybe sometimes even 5 hours. Then you would go downstairs and everyone would have dinner together. So it was old school church, traditional church back then, which had its roots in the South from Texas. So for us, so I was raised in that. So I always had a religious foundation. However, when I started to read more on Black history, world history, African history, peoples of the African diaspora, my mind just really expanded, and I said, okay, there's more than what they're telling us. There's so much more than what they're telling us. So I guess I was born with a natural curiosity. I've always wanted lore, and I've always been the type to look forward and to try to evolve and develop myself the best that I can. So that, you know, while I give honor and respect and glory to my ancestors, my grandmother, my mother, for laying the foundation, the spiritual foundation, because it wouldn't make me who I am today, I have embraced a much broader idea of spirituality based on what I've learned, what I've experienced, and what I've been taught, and now kind of what I teach as well. So it really was an understanding, and also just a need to understand something beyond what I had been exposed to. And so my exploration led me to a lot of indigenous spiritual systems far beyond Christianity, whether they were African, whether they were Latin, whether they were Asian. And I just found that it was home for me. It was very much home for me. And again, for me, it's not about denying Christianity. It's about expounding and expanding upon that and saying, okay, this is true for me, and then so is this as well. a big turning point for me came in terms of my studies and my experiences when my mother developed cancer back in 2010. I was in L.A. at the time. I had been studying acting and had been an actor for 10-plus years. And my mother was here in Atlanta, and I came out here. She was staying with my sister, and I came out here to take care of her. And she developed cancer, so much so that it became, it metastasized. And I had visited a couple times, and I decided to move out here to really try and take care of her. And we were together for about 7 months before she passed away. So I had dealt with depression most of my life, started when I was an adolescent. And at that point when my mother passed, I really felt I had lost my best friend. And there I was, grieving. And a good friend of mine, you know, I was talking with him about the passing of my mother. He knew what was happening. And, you know, he said, "Hey, brother, you know, I'm going to pray for you," et cetera, and got off the phone. And then he called me right back. And he said, "Hey, man, I just want to tell you something." He said, "You know, I had a fiance that passed away. And I dipped into depression momentarily." He said, "I want to tell you something, man. There's nothing that depression can offer you. It's just a cold, icy skull. There's nothing there for you. So whatever you can you do, really do your best to avoid it." And that stuck with me. And I had a decision to make. To plunge back into that, go down that spiral, or to really take that energy of the transition of my mother and the time and use it to my advantage to level up. So I decided to level up. So I started to seriously study energy work. I became a Reiki master. I became a Tantra professional. And I just started to, and I have actually been in this, in taking classes consistently. Boy, I would probably say I have been doing things periodically over the years and studying things on my own for about 20 years, but I've been in class consistently probably for about 10 years. And there's so much to learn, and I'm so interested in expanding the soul that that I'm so happy where I am. And once I did that, the study of the soul, the study of the self, which is ultimately the study of God, really helped to save me, because I understood just how much more we are than just flesh and blood. And that the soul, indeed, because we are the microcosm of the macrocosm, which is God, is everlasting and eternal.
Mm-hmm. You made a comment. You said even early in your childhood, you were receptive to things outside of Christianity. So how were you able to step outside of that traditional Baptist training that we all received? You know, I mean, I was born and bred a Baptist. My daddy is a Baptist minister as we speak.
Wow.
I never, ever thought of stepping even outside of the Baptist Baptist faith. Even to go into another one, I briefly, in the 60s, contemplated becoming a Muslim, but that was more because of what I saw them doing, not necessarily because of the of what they were practicing in terms of their faith. So how were you able to step out of that traditional Baptist training, even to open your mind to the possibility that there's something else out there?
Great question. And my answer to that, Linda, is once I stopped humanizing God, I was able to, as much as I can, being a human being myself, I was able to see God, begin to see God in its totality. Meaning that I think that oftentimes we diminish God and we don't realize it by putting parameters on God. If God is truly omnipotent, if God is truly omniscient, If God is all of these things that obviously are far above and beyond what we can comprehend as human beings, then indeed God is in everything. If God is truly the creator of the universe, then God is the creator of the universe. Then God has its hand in everything. And I stopped judging so much. Now, I want to be clear. Do I have my preferences? Absolutely. Absolutely. I absolutely have preferences. But I freed myself up to determine, first of all, I freed myself up to see God and see love in everything. And is that a day-to-day challenge? Absolutely it is. Absolutely it is. But I realize how important that is, that if I really want to see God, if I really want to experience God, then I must open myself up to the possibility that God exists in everything. So to your point, the least of which is every religion. God has touched every religion. I am not saying that every religion in and of itself is the totality of God, but I am certainly saying that God is somewhere in there. Absolutely. So it became a search, a quest to find out more about God. And when I talk to people, my clients, and I do workshops, I tell them that if you are looking inside yourself, you know, the old adage, know thyself, the reason that's so important, you know, we've all heard that, the reason it's so important is because if we are children of God, then that means there is a spark of God within all of us. So if we are getting to know ourselves, we ultimately, and I mean the pure self, the authentic self, the true self, the God self, then we are getting to know an expression of God. And it's the same thing with your neighbor, your spouse, your family member. We are all expressions therein. We are all expressions. So that's what propelled me, and that's still to this day what propels me to discover and uncover for myself the magnificence of God, the many reflections of God, as opposed to shrinking in fear just because something is different than what I have experienced. And I can say, okay, that's a manifestation. Okay, that's fine. Not for me, but that's fine. It's not for me to judge, neither here nor there. It is what it is. It is what it is. So that's what really, that's what helped me just continue to expand and explore. And I think evolve.
Oh, most definitely. Because you made a good point. If, in fact, we are made in his image and we
indeed
are spirit that is just encased in this fleshly body, then
absolutely,
we've got to know and recognize that the God we serve is within us because we are him, he is us,
absolutely,
we are all one.
Absolutely.
But in looking inside and getting to know us and therefore getting to know God in his totality as much as we can outside of our very limited scope, why do you think people have such a difficult time then trying to balance peace, health, and prosperity? That is a constant battle because you either have one, we know a lot of people that are prosperous, and they're,
right,
you know, they're sick as a dog. They would give up all
right
of their money in order to have good health. Then we have other people who have good health and broke, ain't got no money.
Right.
Why do you think have such a hard time balancing those, that peace, that health, and prosperity?
I think that there is an understanding, there is a philosophy, and I have to say that I do subscribe to this. I do believe this is true, that Earth is Earth in the universe and all the vastness that God has created. Earth is very much a teaching and a learning place. It's a huge school. It's in the evolution of the soul. So in that, with that being understood, you have other states of being, other planes of existence, which are not so dense and deal with this, not such physical matters and physical matter. Our challenge is to, in terms of our learning and our graduating to another level, is to learn how to accept the flesh and how to accept the spirit as well, integrate the two, and rise above the flesh. What happens is that we get stuck in ego, we get stuck in fear, and really ego and fear. Fear really is really the number one killer, because that is purely, you know, that is really a gross matter issue. Someone is going to harm me, something is going to happen to me, because it speaks to the disconnectedness of things. It speaks to the separation of things. It speaks to the segregation of things, as opposed to the oneness of things. So I think that we also live in a society that is not spirit-centered. It is physical-centered. As a matter of fact, it's mentally and physical-centered, but not a positive mentality. It's a very segregative, mentally focused society that pulls us away from our center, pulls us away from spirit. And I think, you know, since you're asking me, I think that is about control. Because if I have you scared, fear is an incredible tool with which to rule people and to get them to spend their money in certain places and in certain ways, because if they don't, X, Y, and Z is going to happen.
Right.
They do such and such, you know, this is going to happen to you, so you better do this. You better put your money here. You better, you know, spend your money with this organization or this company, blah, blah, blah. It goes on and on and on. Also, because there's a very interesting dichotomy of individualism and kind of pack mentality that we have here, particularly in the West, where it's people are individually centered, individually minded, but there's not necessarily a lot of communal mindedness. There's some in pockets, don't get me wrong now, but it's not anywhere near what it used to be. But at the same time, there isn't really support if you step outside of the status quo. So it's to the advantage of, you know, certain institutions that everyone think the same, that everyone be the same, that everyone do the same, so that people can be controlled in the same way.
Mm-hmm.
To the degree that we're caught up in that, which is really all this is an illusion, it's to the degree that we will battle with this prosperity versus happiness and so on and so forth, the challenges that you speak of. And it's a tough one. It's a tough one.
Yeah, because it's like you said, that fear, and I agree totally with you. You know what they say? They say fear is false evidence appearing real.
Thank you. Exactly.
And that's exactly
it is a complete illusion. Yeah.
That's right. It's an illusion, but it's such a crippling illusion.
Yes, it is.
That, you know, it's like it doesn't have to be real, but if you believe it long enough and strong enough to your mind,
exactly. Absolutely. That's right.
That's a very good point.
You know.
Yeah, go ahead. Because we do, and that's what kind of happens, and so that cripples us. And so I think, Kazemi, that has a lot to do why we have become so very single-minded as opposed to a communal nation that we were. Because if you think back, even look at our traditional churches, our churches used to be community churches. Everything emanated from that church.
Indeed.
But the church,
indeed, absolutely.
It was a community body. People who belonged to the church lived in the community around the church.
Yes.
Now you fast forward to 2017, and there are not many churches around, except if you go into your rural areas where your
right.
congregants live in the same community where they worship.
That's true. That's true. That's true. Mm-hmm. That's absolutely true. You know, the church was a center. The church had always been the center of the community and also the center of Black culture.
That's right.
For decades. You know, and I have met a couple people that were not raised in the Black church. And that's fine. I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with these people, but there were some noted differences. They had no idea
right.
what the Black national anthem was, Lift Every Voice and Sing. They hadn't even heard that song. But there's a sense of brotherhood and sisterhood that just was not there.
Right.
So, you know, absolutely, you know, absolutely correct. You know, and I think that you said something very interesting that if enough people believe in something on a certain level, it rings as true. Even if it is an illusion,
that's right.
it's a true illusion, you know, for those people that believe in it, you know. And I think that there's been a lot of duping. There's been a lot of bamboozling and hoodwinking
right.
that we've gone through, and we don't even know it. We just don't even know it. I'll take one thing, for example, Christopher Columbus. I'm glad
right.
that finally people know that he was not the savior of the Americas that he was professed to be when we were in school. He
That's
was an
right.
absolute murderous killer, and he was a pillager
right.
and a rapist, you know.
Oh, my goodness.
So, but, you know, until those things get exposed, you don't know better.
Right.
You don't know what you don't know.
No, you don't know what you don't.
You don't. Yeah, you really don't.
That's
and that's
exactly.
why fear
so,
is so bad, you know. Go ahead.
So how do you then help your clients in the midst of all of this that's going on? How then do you help your clients find their true selves? You know, how do
so,
you get them?
So glad you asked that.
Later.
Great question. Great question. Great question. I believe at some point, all of us, and I believe it particularly started as children, there were glimmers and there were sparks that resonated the belief of, and the belief in who we were and of who we are. And I often encourage people to go back to their childhood. We do exercises to talk about their childhood. What did you want to be? What were your happiest moments? What were you doing that made you happy? And even now, what you find is that those things that these people love to do and who they were, they really haven't forgotten them. They've just covered them over with a bunch of stuff that society wants them to do and with a bunch of conditioning from their community or their job or their family or their church or another organization, you know, trying to fit in. So the first thing I help people do is I say, let's find out where your true happiness is and don't judge it. So I get them to write out a couple lists, who they think they are, why they think they were here, why they think they're put here, what they put here to do, and then what's in their heart?
Yeah.
What is that inkling, that passion that will not go away, but that they may think is silly? But it's not silly, or else it wouldn't be in there in the first place. It's not.
Right. That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
But, you know, what happens is a couple of things. One thing that happens, you spoke of that spark that's somewhere
mm-hmm.
that illuminated at some point in our childhood. But childhood labels that other children, that adults, whomever, put on us as children can destroy.
Absolutely.
That. And so what then we grow up and life happens, and that is all but extinguished because it's buried so far beneath the mental stuff that we're carrying, that baggage. I speak of baggage that we bring with us from our past, that baggage. Everybody brings baggage. So we deal with that mental baggage, and then we have to deal with the physical realities of being a responsible adult. And all of that happens, and those whatever that was that we had then is gone. So I often ask the women that I deal with, what do you want to be when you grow up? What do you want to be when you grow up?
Exactly.
You see, because, you know, when we were children and someone asked us that, we were quick to say, I want to be a doctor.
Absolutely.
I want to be a lawyer. I want to be a nurse. I want a teacher. We would name things right off the bat. And then we forget about that. But you're right. Somewhere hidden beneath all of that stuff is our true self. And I think it's getting back to that. That's the challenge that we have. Is just getting back. Well, that's the first challenge. The first challenge is finding out who we are. The second challenge is liking who we find.
That's right. Without malice or judgment. That's right. Without malice or judgment. That's huge. You're absolutely correct, because we can see who we are all day long, and we have glimpses of who we are, but if we don't accept it and embrace it, we're right back at square one.
That's exactly right. It still doesn't matter. So what is in your experience, what then do you think is the greatest challenge that we have today to be able to love ourselves, to then be able to love someone else? Because, you know, Scripture says, you know, you love your neighbor as you love yourself. Well, hell, if you don't love yourself, you can't love your neighbor. The biggest challenge is loving ourselves. And so what is the greatest challenge that you have found that prevents us from being able to just love and embrace ourselves?
Judgment based on our conditionings. Judgment based on our conditionings and fear. We hold so many things that we take for fact from our childhood. I mean, it is running a program in the background 25/8 in our minds. And unfortunately, when we were younger, when we were children, we were sponges. So we have accepted that programming, and that laid the foundation from everything else to sprout and grow from. That is the biggest thing. We have to get back and say, and we have to really deprogram the conditioning and say, okay, I believe this. For instance, let's say, talking about the Baptist Church. Okay, I believe that the Baptist Church is the one and the only, okay? And I don't want to offend anyone who does believe that. Because let me tell you my philosophy. If that works for you, if that's where you find God, if that's where you find your salvation, then you know what? That's what God has for you. That's fine. I am in no position, and I don't even want to try and condemn someone for doing what they feel they need to do for themselves. That is fine. The issue that I have, though, is when people try to impose their beliefs on others without valuing the other person.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I have the issue. But if that is what you believe, that's fine. But for those that are looking to change, or there's an inkling of something else that they may need to expand and grow into, and I just lost my train of thought. Doggone it. Give me your question again. What was your question again, Linda?
What is the greatest challenge
Yes. Thank you. I threw myself off there for a minute. So the challenge is being so afraid of stepping outside of a tradition or a system that we were raised in, and understanding that we were raised in that system, like let's say me going to Baptist church, but I that was never really a choice.
That's right.
You know, it wasn't a choice. I just did it because my family did it. So I never chose.
That's right.
So when you don't choose, you don't know what you love. You don't know what you value. You don't know what makes you happy. You don't know what brings you joy. So even if I stay there and if I stay in something that I did not choose, then that's fear. That's
right.
Fear. So it's our conditioning, which is which a lot of us are conditioned to the point of fear to not explore based on just our past, just our upbringing and our environment when we were younger. So those
right.
two things, and also I would say acceptance. I would say acceptance too, because as you said, Linda, you know, it's one thing to be aware of something. You'd be aware of something all day long, but if you don't accept it, then it's not going to matter. So that acceptance is huge as well. The acceptance is huge, and that's something that, and that's why I always say to my clients, you're going to write these lists, you're going to talk and speak about what you want, you're going to affirm it without judgment, without critique,
yes.
and without judgment.
Yes. But you know what?
Yes.
We will accept what someone else has to say
absolutely.
Quicker than we will accept our own. For instance, and I say this often, we can get up in the morning, we can put on an outfit, look at ourselves in the mirror, and really feel good about how we look. We step outside, and
mm-hmm.
the very first person that we see can make a comment, oh, you put on a little weight, haven't you? And all of a sudden,
that's right.
what
Dash.
We saw in the mirror no longer matters. Now, we are
that's right.
judging ourselves based on the acceptance or non-acceptance of whatever it is that that person said about us.
That's true. That's true.
A big hindrance to us being able to find our true selves. You know, we've got to look at the good, the bad, and the ugly.
That's right.
You know? And
that's
we've
right.
got to get to a point in our lives where we can recognize and accept responsibility. I think accountability is a big issue, and it goes a long way to really finding
right.
your true self. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely, absolutely. I think what you're also talking about here is the fact that all of our attention is placed outward. Our
That's
society
right.
wants us to place all of our attention outward, but the gifts and God is within. But
that's right.
your typical school is not talking about meditation. It used to talk about prayer. It took prayer out of school now. So there's nothing that talks about going inward. Your psychology courses are talking about mental stuff, which deals with your conditioning. That's still not
right.
the essence of who we are. So I
that's
think,
right.
too, is that we forget that we are children of God and what that means. We forget what
yeah.
that means. We really
yeah.
have forgotten what that means. There is no limitation. We are supposed to be boundless beings. So to say that you are a child of God, it doesn't mean that you won't have challenges, but it means that that from which you were created is limitless and boundless. So
right.
bring that into your life, you know.
That's right.
There is nothing to fear if you are a child of God. I'm not saying that you won't have doubts. I'm not saying we won't have challenges. We'll have all of that. But we need to have those challenges just to solidify our belief in ourselves, just
That's
to
right.
know. You don't know if you're courageous if you don't have fear to test you.
That's exactly
you won't
right.
know. Yeah, you won't if you don't have danger to test you, you won't know how courageous you are. If
yeah.
you don't have a weight to bear, you won't know how strong you are.
Right. That's right.
So we have to have those things. We have to have those things. But we have so forgotten. We are, as you said earlier, Linda, we are so obligated, we are so conditioned to accept this flesh, this shell, that
yeah.
that's where we think it begins and ends, you know. Just to tell a quick story, I remember when Trump was elected, for about 15 minutes, I was really depressed. And I said, wait a minute. I said, hold on, SMA. Wait, stop, time out.
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to allow this one man to dictate your happiness, to control your state of mind, to determine your future? This one, I don't care if he's president of the United States or not. It doesn't matter. This is one person. He is not God unless I make him into a God.
Right. That's exactly right. And what I do is, and I think we all experience that moment, that momentary fear when we woke up and he had been elected. But I constantly say this to people, the same God that put Barack Obama in office 8 years ago allowed Trump to take office.
Absolutely.
So he has a plan.
Absolutely.
He's still in control. We have to remember.
Absolutely.
He's still in control. And so whatever his plan is, we just going to have to play it out. He's not going to consult us. He's not going to tell us what he's up to. But we've got to remember that. And we allow other people, other people's beliefs. You know, there were some things I was as an adult, and my husband used to say, well, why do you do this? And I'd say, well, because my mom told me. And he was like, okay, but why? And I was like, because that's what she did. Tell you a quick story I heard. There was a man that was married, and every time his wife got ready to cook a ham, she would cut off the end bone piece and cook it. And when he asked her why she cut it off, she said because that's what her mother did. And he went and asked her mother, said, your daughter cooks the ham and cuts off the end piece. She said, that's because that's what you did. She said, yes. He said, well, why did you do that? She said, because that's the way my mother taught me. Well, her mother was still alive, and so he went and asked her, said, your daughter and your granddaughter both cut the end of the ham off before they put it in the pot because they said that's what they were taught. Why do you do that? She said, because I didn't have a pot big enough to put the whole ham in.
There it is.
You
there's
know,
so much wisdom in that story.
We do that. That's that acceptance of other people's values over and above, sometimes, but even common sense.
Absolutely. A lot
sometimes
of times
even
common sense. Absolutely. There's so much wisdom in that story. We accept, we accept other people's limitations for our own.
That's
we
right.
accept other people's limitations for our own. And, you know, I keep talking about, you know, we are talking about going inside and noting the God inside, the God child inside, and consulting that because you're consulting God within. But once you start to do that, once you start to open up that door and get up and embark upon a path of inner exploration, that is where the gifts that you have, that God has given you, will be unveiled, the talents, the skills, the purpose, the divine destiny, the divine calling, all of these things. And so you realize that I think that brings joy and happiness and confidence with someone who knows their purpose, with someone who knows and has skills and gifts, and they know why they're here. You can't help but love yourself. And then you will stop comparing. Then it's not about a competition. You'll be eager, I think, to see God in other people because you will see what God has done with you. So really does, you know, start with self, and then it bleeds out to other people. But absolutely, it's all about how we perceive ourselves and knowing the God within. It really is.
Absolutely, and I think just the challenge then is to bring people to the point where they are open and receptive to thinking outside of the box that we have either been placed in or that we have placed ourselves in. Because I say this all the time, we can lock ourselves into a room and all of the windows are wide open.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know?
I love that. Absolutely.
So,
I love it.
Yeah, so some of the things we impose on ourselves, we don't even have to have anyone else do it. And I think that's the challenge, is to
Indeed.
Get clients to, all right, let's really go back to the root. Let's kind of dig into this. And you're right, let's get on another level besides that mental and that physical. Let's really get
Absolutely.
Into the whole spiritual nature
yeah.
of our being, and let's see where that takes us. But, you know, that scares a lot of people. And so they don't, you know, they don't necessarily want to delve into it to that level. So in your journey, what life lessons have you learned, and how have you been able to apply those lessons not only to your life, but also to your clients?
I think the big one, one of the biggest ones is, and I'll forgive me because I'll probably be repeating myself a little bit here, but one of the big ones is acceptance. You know, I think, again, you know, there's a lot of pressure in the West, just in the world in general, to conform, a lot of pressure to conform. And no one wants to be left outside of the pack. No one wants to be excommunicated. No one wants to be, you know, rejected, because you want to feel that you are not by yourself and you're not alone, therefore you have protection, you have people around you, you have love, you have acceptance, that whole thing. So self-acceptance has been huge, and that's really what I focus on with people a lot. A lot of people that come to me tend to be kind of a bit like me. They were, you know, maybe the odd person or odd person out of the family, the oddball of the family. They always thought differently, and they thought something was wrong with them. And what I tell them is that there's not something wrong with you. There's something right with you, and you have
right.
a special mission, you know, which is why. And every family has one. Every family has that person that really if it's an elevated family, they may be aware, but most are not. That person that thinks a little bit differently, that does things a little bit differently, that has a certain type of awareness, that person is the one that holds the spiritual health of that family together. That is the person. I don't care if all the other people are pastors or not, it doesn't matter. That's the person that, if they have that awareness and they have that difference, and I can't quite explain it other than the way I've said it, but just having a certain type of awareness, they hold the spiritual health of the family. And it is really important that they be encouraged. So it's not only acceptance, but then it's encouragement to step into their gifts and understanding that the gifts they have been given are not for them, they're for the community and the people around them. They're for the world around them. So
that's
another thing, you know, and what I do is I really...
We think it's about us, don't we? We always think it's about us.
We really do. We really do. And that's that individualistic society that we have here in the West. But our gifts and our talents are for others. You know, we can pat ourselves on the back for a minute if we want to get them, and that's fine. We got them. Great. But, you know, pat God on the back because God gave them to you. And,
that's right.
You know, master them and be of service to others. Be of service to others. But I think that so acceptance, that expression, and then I think, again, exploration of self and discovering of God and who you are through God, because then you can truly open up your heart and go past the fear and accept others and find the oneness, find the connectedness with yourself and others. But you really can't do that unless you get past the flesh. It's just not... you know, you really kind of got to understand that,
yeah.
You know. So, you know, there are various exercises that I do with my clients to, you know, to get into themselves and to find that thread, that golden thread of the Creator,
mm-hmm.
which exists in all of us, in all
mm-hmm.
of us.
I think that finding that golden thread that you just mentioned is the key to finding that balance between
yeah.
peace, health, and prosperity.
Absolutely.
I think
absolutely.
That's the key to finding that, because once you discover your purpose,
yeah,
and you walk in that purpose, then everything else
falls
just
in place.
Kind of, that's right.
Yeah,
that's exactly.
It really does. It really,
that's
truly,
right.
truly does. A lot of the issues that we have is that we are going against the grain, and we don't even know it. Because, again, we're not in a society that values who we are as children of God. We're not in a society that values that. So I tell clients all the time, it takes a little bit of effort on the front end to discover who you are, because you're wiping away all the conditioning, and you're
that's
flipping
right.
a switch. You're turning off one switch, and you're turning on another one.
That's
so
right.
We have to allow that time and let that transfer happen. And also, I tell people, you know, there's nothing that I can – the person ultimately has to do it themselves. I can, of course, I assist my clients with coaching and channeling and energy
mm-hmm.
work, but it's an experience that they have to have for themselves. It's an experience,
right.
And it's beyond a mental experience. It will eventually change them mentally, of course, because it will change their perspective, but it's an energetic/spiritual experience first. And I tell
that's
people,
right.
you know, when they who are afraid, you know, as you said, because a lot of people get a little nervous and start talking about spiritually and all this type of stuff. But I say, listen, have you ever been around someone and you just met them for the first time and their vibe is a little bit strange? You feel a little weird around them. They make you kind of angry, a little irritable. I said, okay, that's
mm-hmm.
the energy that they're putting off. Conversely, being around someone that you feel, wow, this person really made me feel happy, and I just met them just in my presence. I said, that's also a vibe. Two different
that's
frequencies,
right.
but it's still frequency. It's still spirit. It's still energy. It's the same thing. It's the
that's
same
right.
thing. Yeah.
That's exactly right. And we all
yeah.
have that energy. We just
absolutely.
Have to recognize it.
To tap into
and,
it. Yep.
That's right. Tap into it and allow
yeah.
that energy, that spirituality to dictate and control our thoughts, our mind, our bodies, and
that's
then
right.
everything, it kind of falls into place. So as
absolutely.
We start to wind down here, very interesting conversation. This is absolutely phenomenal, and I'm very interested in this and interested in talking to you some more about this whole just this whole thing. I'm very fascinated by this. In the meantime, though, can you tell our listening audience, if they wanted to reach out to you, to contact you, how they might be able to contact you?
All right, absolutely. So I am on Facebook, and again, my name is Kazembe Abena. That is Kazembe, last name Abena, Abena. You can private message me there. Also, I have a website. My company is called Divine Residence, LLC. My company's website is Divine, D-I-V-I-N-E, hyphen, Residence, R-E-S-O-N. Make sure I spell this right. Divine Residence. Oh, my goodness. .com. So Divine
okay.
hyphen Resonance dot com.
Okay.
And that is that's Divine, D-I-V-I-N-E hyphen R-E-S-O-N-A-N-C-E dot com. And
okay.
you'll find information on me and what I do. I'm also we'll be having a Cultivating Intimacy workshop on July 22nd, which is a Saturday, from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. That is going to be at 939 Cleveland Avenue in East Point, Georgia, 30344. And it's an intimacy workshop. It is non-sexual. Intimacy is about closeness. Intimacy is about acceptance. So I'm going to give people some, give folks some more tools on how to connect better with their friends, their family, lovers, potential lovers, husbands, wives, etc. And you're going to learn how to really use open and honest communication, how to connect and learn tools on how to pick up body language. Also, we're going to talk about the five love languages, and you're going to find out what yours is. And then if you bring a mate, you're going to find out what theirs is and figure out how to communicate theirs to them and how to receive yours as well. And also from that, you'll just gain some confidence in terms of how to create intimate situations and relationships in your life. And that will help alleviate fear. And also, Linda, finally, I've got for your listeners tonight, and I'll have this deal that will be available until 9 p.m. tomorrow night, Eastern Standard Time. I am doing a special on a coaching / energetic cultivating intimacy session where it will be done remotely, which means I'm here in Atlanta. We'll do it all over the phone. Doesn't matter where you are. You can be overseas, and we'll do a coaching / energy work cultivating intimacy session. So that is also going to be used to get you more confident with yourself, more in touch with your body, to talk about your needs and desires, and to get you just to awaken the true passion of who you are, get past the guilt, get past the shame, get past the fear, and embrace the love and embrace who you are. So we're going to do that through coaching and through energy work, and that is just going to be a special rate of $95 for an hour. That is typically $200 an hour. So I want to offer that to your listeners here tonight, Linda. There's a link that will be on my Facebook page. If you can't find it anywhere else, I'll have it there. Yep, along with the show.
Okay. We want to thank you so much for sharing with us this evening, because then you gave us just an absolute wealth of knowledge, a lot of food for thought. And we just want to thank you for joining us this week. Be sure to join us
every Thursday
at 10 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time to hear from another phenomenal person. Or you can listen to this and previous broadcasts on blogtalkradio.com/discover a new beginning. If you would like to be a guest on the show, or you know someone who is phenomenal, please have them contact me at linda@lindahwilliams.com. So I leave you with these words from that phenomenal woman, Maya Angelou. That man is a success who leaves the world better than he found it, who has never lacked appreciation of Earth's beauty or failed to express it, who looked for the best in others and gave the best he had. That is a phenomenal man. Thank you. Thank you all. Thank you, Kazembe. We'll see you here again next week. You all have a pleasant evening. Good night.
Peace and love.